Hello, everyone. Thank you for coming to this session on a Thursday morning. I hope you've all been enjoying the conference this week. And I assume that the people who are still here are very much interested or invested in eDiscovery. And so I'm very happy to welcome all of you here. My name is Siyoung. I'm a product manager on the Microsoft Office team. I look after the eDiscovery workload across Office. Just a quick show of hands. How many of you are actually using an eDiscovery solution, whether it's from Microsoft or a third party? All right, almost everyone in the room. And how many of you are actually using the Microsoft version of that? So just a few. We understand that eDiscovery is becoming a very popular area in the world of electronic content management, especially as a lot of the content, communication, and all of these media are being done in the digital world. It's becoming a very large headache, both cost intensive as well as concerns from the legal departments of all of our organizations. Here at Microsoft, we use our eDiscovery solution internally within our legal teams to both protect our organizations from external lawsuits, but also be able to comply with the compliance standards of the industry. It's becoming a very quickly becoming a very large area where we have to invest millions of dollars every year. It's actually more than that. Hundreds of millions of dollars every year to be able to simply protect our organizational assets and the patents and the technology to be able to go forward. And sometimes it's becoming so large that we are pushing both the legal systems in various areas to become a more optimized world, whereas in the past, the current system that we all of us understand was very much based on the paper-based system in the past, and so we're striving to help innovate that system going forward. So that's a little bit of the context of where we're going. But nevertheless, we are working very hard to be able to deliver a simpler solution for all of our customers, with us being the first one. Right. The majority of U.S. customers, corporations, whether it's Fortune 500 or small businesses are actually engaged in various activities of these types of legal matters. And we understand that a typical corporation will have hundreds of these ongoing lawsuits, whether it's internal or external. The average cost of e-discovery hovers above $1 million per case Within our teams, Microsoft has a large compliance team, and all they really do is focus on making sure that our assets are secure, and we use our internal tools of eDiscovery to just get that work done. In the past, it would take us weeks just for our paralegals to go out and gather the assumption of the expected data of content that we need, and even gathering those content would take weeks. Because we have such disparate systems, we have many LOB systems, and we need to be able to gather as much information as we can to be able to have an upper hand in such matters. And so the cost of eDiscovery itself makes it a relatively easy justification for the ROI of deploying a solution like eDiscovery. So kind of with that context, I'll just quickly cover what eDiscovery means in general. And by definition, it's the process of being able to search, preserve, hold content that may be used as evidence in preparing for a lawsuit. The important piece is being able to search and process and reduce the amount of data that is relevant. There are various technologies, third parties, and players in this market who specialize in this area. Microsoft, in general, we're usually not as very specific in technology and solutions, but we usually offer a much broader set in a simpler fashion for end users. If you look at our areas like unified communication or business intelligence, in the areas like ERP and CRM, while our solution may not have the top high-end features of all of our competitors, we offer a more robust and a more secure platform-based approach. And that's kind of where eDiscovery for Microsoft is important. We understand that a lot of our companies and a lot of our customers use Exchange Server for their mailboxes and SharePoint for their websites and communications and social platforms. And that's kind of one of the reasons that we thought that it made sense. If we built eDiscovery directly into our products, it may save our customers a lot of resources and dollars in both implementing the solution, but also in usage of it. Finally, the other half of the eDiscovery solution is review, is the review phase, which is roughly 70% of the total cost of an eDiscovery case. The reason that is, and most of you probably know, is that the review phase involves our attorneys and lawyers to actually review each content page by page. The average cost for an eDiscovery review roughly starts from $10,000 up to about $40,000 at the high end per gigabyte. Internally, a single eDiscovery case is usually around 100 gigabytes, so that means it's already in the tens of millions of dollars range just to get the content looked at by our attorneys and then sift through those content to find the relevant ones. We start with hundreds of gigabytes of data, but the actual the actual data that's relevant that we send over to court usually is about 1% or even in a fraction of that percent of the starting data. And so as the critical aim that we aim for is to reduce the number of volume, but also increase the relevancy for the final production results. So there's generally three challenges that we face in eDiscovery. And the first is preservation of that data. There are legal obligations for customers and for end users to be able to have the evidence and preserve the data for communications and content. You can actually be fined for deleting data on purpose, which actually happens rather often than not. And it's also one of the reasons that even internal to Microsoft, our IT admins do not have access to the eDiscovery solutions. It is strictly segregated and actually isolated for our eDiscovery managers and compliance teams. The second part is search and reduction. The volume of data is so large these days, and increasingly becoming large, that it's important to be able to find the right keywords, search the relevant information, and reduce the data set to a manageable size. And finally, being able to export that data, being able to package it in a standard way is important, because we do understand that Microsoft is not the sole provider of eDiscovery. It's important that we follow standards so that we can move these data sets around with different industry tools, being able to upload, download, and be compatible with other tool sets. So take a quick look. Let's start with a quick investigation scenario to give you an idea of what Microsoft eDiscovery looks like. So in SharePoint 2013, we created a new concept called the eDiscovery Center. And within that eDiscovery Center, you can create case sites, which you can both query data, create queries to look at different types of data, but also place holds on different types of mailboxes and websites. I created a query yesterday to show how fast it is to actually look at and search relevant information. So while this is searching, it will actually use the query that I've typed in before. It will search through the mailboxes that I've added, as well as the SharePoint sites as part of the search query. This will search across Exchange mailboxes, SharePoint sites, as well as leaked messages. That is if it finishes. Let's try that again. Been a bit slow this week. Then, when it finishes, it will give me a quick result of the actual size of data that's relevant for us. Many times, the important part is actually not knowing how much data we're dealing with. Like, how large are the mailboxes that are relevant? How large are the SharePoint documents? How large are the OneDrive files that we need to sift through and be able to reduce? And being able to get a quick view on how all of that adds up to is very important for the initial phase of quick investigation. While it's searching, you can kind of see it's a little bit gray here. It's 24.97 megabytes, which is the total. we'll see if it finishes. But in general, we'll be able to break down like how large is Katie's mailbox, how large is Sarah's mailbox, and how large are the content for the SharePoint documents that are part of that. We'll let it finish while I go back to the slides. Through the quick investigation, the biggest kind of benefits that we get is to get a real-time view of the actual data within it. And one of the benefits that we have in our platform is that we use a technology called InPlace. InPlace is a differentiator for Microsoft because we don't have to migrate the mailboxes, the SharePoint sites, the linked messages to a separate database or a separate container. We actually place these holds and these search queries directly on the content. We're able to do this because we actually own the Exchange mailboxes, the Exchange servers, as well as the SharePoint services. And so that's one of the reasons we are able to do this very quickly without affecting our users. All of this happens in real time, and so our search query index goes around and does its indexing periodically. But we can also be able to utilize the fast engine inside SharePoint and SharePoint Online to be able to deliver these results faster to our users. So in the past, when we wanted to get an idea of the size of the data that we're dealing with, it would take hours and days just to get that initial investigation going on. Now we can do this in seconds to get those answers. So just a quick opening of this session is that our capabilities technologies are based on the in-place hold technologies that we created. We started this with Exchange Server in 2010. We've now brought it to SharePoint in 2013, and then we've also adopted all of these technologies in the cloud in Office 365. These advantages help us to do quick holds to real-time queries and export in an industry-standard fashion. And we'll go through each of these features throughout the presentation as well. And the kind of the aim for us is we did a lot of plumbing on the back end to make it easier for our end users. As I'll show you throughout the demo today, all of the features are focused to make it easier for our end users and compliance officers to be able to do a quick investigation, search the queries, and be able to put holds and export the content in a very easy way with all wizard or wizard-driven menus to guide the users through that process. So the search finished. Let me finish the demo, my first demo. I did a quick investigation for our Northwind project. And as you can see here, we can see the actual Exchange content, the SharePoint websites that were searched as part of that quick investigation. So we know which websites, which email mailboxes hold that keyword that I've inputted and get a sense of the data that we're looking at. So one new thing that I'd like to show you today is the new Compliance Center that we haven't shipped yet, but we'll be delivering throughout the year. The Compliance Center is a group of these compliance features that we will integrate into a single portal. What this means is that in the past, when you wanted to do e-discovery, you had to go to the e-discovery center. When you wanted to do archiving, you had to go to Exchange. When you wanted to do auditing, you had to go to multiple places. Encryption, likewise. We have grouped these multiple compliance features into a single portal on the Office 365 admin page. So this is a very early version of that. It's the Office 365 Compliance Center. We're still finalizing the actual name of what we'll call it. Internally, we call it the UCC, the UCP, the Unified Compliance Center, the Unified Compliance Portal. There's literally seven or eight names that we call it. But in general, we are creating this single portal where, as you can see here, you can set up all the archiving across Exchange, SharePoint, and the Office 365 environment. There's the auditing menu where you can see who looked at what, who accessed the behavior. We're adding features like view auditing to this so that we have a more granular and more powerful tools to be able to see who got access to where. Things like data loss prevention is also handled in this portal, so you can add policy tooltips, whether it's across the different services as well, and to find sensitive information to keep your organization safe for those types of risks. There's also encryption where you can set rights management. It includes the e-discovery center here as well, and so we have a centralized view of all of your e-discovery case sites. I'll look at one of these, the sensitive data audit, and clicking on this on this link will take me to that new eDiscovery site. I have a sensitive data audit query running, and this audit looks at the various websites and mailboxes to see if any of the keywords match with credit card numbers or social security numbers, which are obviously sensitive information. And I want to view these by mailboxes and websites. A new feature that we're adding is a search all feature. So currently today, when you're doing eDiscovery in Microsoft, you had to define and you had to actually manually add all the mailbox users or the SharePoint sites using URLs. We're adding a new feature called Search All, where it will search across the tenant for those types of queries. So you no longer have to add these one by one. And you can do this across Exchange and SharePoint. So we'll do a quick search. And it brought me back. Unfortunately, we already have seven hits of content that have both credit card numbers or a social security number involved. And you can see here that the first one is actually a OneDrive site. So we now support searching across your OneDrives for your users to find those types of content. And all of these content are searched on the back end with the fast index server with all different metadata types that we support. On the right-hand side, we can see you can break down the search query statistics by, you know, which search query brought back how many hits. And you can break those down by different query statistics on the right side. And in general, we can see, you know, which of the, you know, the documents or the OneDrive files that are actually affected by this query by quickly going over the content that has been, that's the result of this query. But as you can see in general, it's very easy to be able to have a central interface to be able to look into the data sets of your users and customers and clients and find sensitive information, relative information, and being able to bring those information into central portal using the new Compliance Center. One more thing that I'd like to show you while we're at the Compliance Center is the new hold menu. Now, we've been moving this back and forth. It used to be an archiving, but now we've created a separate UI. It may change in the future. But the reason we added a hold feature here is that currently today, when you do an eDiscovery hold, it's actually held forever until you actually unhold it or disable hold on it. That wasn't very convenient for some scenarios where you wanted to set a retention period. I want to hold it for 7 years, for example, and then delete it. The new hold policies actually help you accomplish that. So let's create a new policy, Northwind. Hold policy. And we can search across mailboxes and our websites. We have a new picker. So instead of having to know the names or the aliases of all the names, you can actually choose from the list. I'll choose John and maybe Garth. It's a little bit better than before, and we're improving on that. And we can also choose the SharePoint sites for discovery. And it'll check with SharePoint to see if that's actually a relevant site or a site that actually exists. And as likewise, we'll look for the keyword Northwind. And we can set a start and end date to filter that even further. So if it's for this fiscal year, this quarter, whatnot, you can use that to reduce your data sets. The default mode in the past, or I guess up till now, is to do an indefinite hold. We can now do, you know, 3 years, 1 year, or do a custom hold. I want to, for example, keep my records, if it's, let's say it's tax-related, keep it for 7 years, and then delete it afterwards, or unhold it afterwards. And so this will give me a summary of all selections that I've done using the new hold policy, the mailboxes, the websites, and I'll be holding this for 7 years. I can turn this on immediately, or have this saved as a template and turn it on later when I actually need it. So that was the new Compliance Center. And we're this is kind of where we're innovating as fast as we can through the new cloud infrastructure. In Office 365, this will land first. We've announced next year that we will also be delivering the new version of SharePoint and Exchange, which we think some of these features that make sense will also land in the on-premise version as well. But we will be rapidly innovating and testing these features with performance increments, size increments in the cloud version first. And if you have any questions, feel free to ask. I think we have a small enough audience that we can do it interactively. Sure. So the question was, while the solution is time-based or point-in-time-based, do we have a solution to be able to investigate in archive data? Yes and no. We can. So all of this is actually set. So the trigger would be a lawsuit, and you would be able to place holds from that time and on. We don't have a time-based or retro-going solution yet. For archived information, but that is what we have heard that feedback before for this to be a more proactive solution, so that before the lawsuit, can we actually go back to the archives and do that? That as well as predictive coding is one of the major areas that we're working on in the forward to add to the product. But you're correct. Right now, it's a point-in-time solution, and it's triggered by the holds to be able to preserve that content going forward. Any other questions, I think? Yes, in the middle.
So I saw the list where you were selecting individual users.
Right.
Is it possible to select groups of people? I mean, like the whole user?
Yes. Yeah. So the question was, can we select multiple people? Yes, you can select a distribution list. And so if you have security groups or distribution lists, you can add that as part of the mailboxes selection as well. Another question on the left, yes?
When you're selecting SharePoint sites, can you easily select all? Say, I want to see whatever these cross everything.
Yeah, so the question was, can I select all SharePoint sites? Currently, no, you can't. You have to add those individually. It is on the plan to be able to select all SharePoint sites. The search query itself, you can do a search all of the keywords. But in terms of the actual sites, you'll have to add those individually. There might be a slight difference in the nuance of that.
Okay. You are selecting mailbox and SharePoint sites, but the previous slide mentioned file share. Is that an option as well?
Sure. So the question was on file shares as well. So the reason we have SharePoint sites and mailboxes is we are able to both search and place holds on SharePoint sites and mailboxes. For file shares, we can search, but we don't actually do in-place holds on the file shares. So you can do a search and export that content with your package together. There's a question on the mic, yes.
Yeah, what's the notification like at the end of the retention period? And I'm specifically thinking of using this as a tool for obsolete content, not necessarily a legal hold. You just want it to time out, but you want the owner of the document or whatever to have an opportunity to resave it or something like that.
Yes. We currently don't have a notification option when these expire. It is on the priority list to have that type of insight, both from a reporting perspective, but also from a notification perspective. But yes, we're definitely looking into that part as well. Thank you.
Quick question about the process. When you click the search and it's doing the spinning wheel, do you have the ability to close it and then move on and then come back in the morning and then pick and then find your search, or does it have to stay open?
Yeah, so it's usually the search spinning wheel is very quick, and so we didn't find a need to have to do a cached or have a structured version for that. But yes, we don't have it yet. You need to wait for it to finish today, or it will cancel. But it, usually the first search of that query takes the longest. Afterwards, the results are cached, so it's much faster. But yes, that's kind of the current technology. OK, so let's continue. We support not only SharePoint sites, but also Exchange mailboxes and link archives. So all of the link messages, the instant messages, can be configured to be saved in the Exchange mailboxes, as well as the meeting content. So if you have documents that are saved as part of your link meetings, those can also be saved in the Exchange user's mailbox, which can then be crawled in the Discovery Center. And this applies to all modalities. So it's desktop, mobile, web. We will capture all of those, both on-premises and in the Link Online version in the cloud as well. SharePoint content, all of the content at the site level will be archived, will be placed on hold. This is lists, feeds, documents, pages. The list feeds will be downloaded as a CSV file, while the documents will be downloaded as a native document file, so Office documents, as well as the pages will be stored as an MHTML file, so it will retain the structure and the formatting of the actual web pages. In the past, eDiscovery solutions would dump everything into CSVs and text files, and it was a huge mess for lawyers to look through all the hashtags and all the metadata through that. We retain the fidelity of the websites as it is shown. Site admins cannot delete the whole data or the site. They will get a warning that this site and content is on hold. And finally, if you have versioning turned on for your document libraries, you can actually download and export all of the versions of the documents as well. This is kind of the life cycle of an Exchange user. If a message is delivered and that message is now deleted, and then the user empties the trash can, it's actually purged. But when the mailbox has a legal hold on it, we actually create a hidden folder on that Exchange mailbox. As well as if the message is edited, we create a separate hold folder that has. Go to the eDiscovery Center. So first of all, to deploy an eDiscovery Center is pretty straightforward. There's the cloud version and there's the on-prem version. If you're on Office 365, you need to be a global administrator to have the credentials to create an eDiscovery Center. If you go into the SharePoint Online admin, you can create a new site. And using the Enterprise Site Template, there is actually an eDiscovery site template that you use to create that site. You'll need to have the global privileges to create that. Once you create your eDiscovery Center, you assign an Exchange mailbox, sorry, an Exchange server services to become a resources. The third step will be to create the security groups for your eDiscovery managers. We call them eDiscovery Manager Security Groups or various names. And then assigning those to both the SharePoint and Exchange services is the final step. So it's pretty straightforward. On premises, there's a little bit of configuration needs to be done on both the Exchange side and the SharePoint side, as well as the link servers if you're going to support that as well. But once that's all set up, it's pretty straightforward. Your compliance officers and eDiscovery managers will go to the sites at eDiscovery page, where they can create new cases, but also add to the existing cases as well. Today, let's create a new audit. I'm just creating the plus new item. We'll kick the new eDiscovery set. I'll call it Northwind Audit, or let's call it Hold. The first step actually will be to be adding the mailboxes. I'll add a couple. And then we can also add SharePoint sites here as well. If I can get the URL right. There you go. And so I've added two mailboxes for Sarah and Katie, as well as a SharePoint site for sales and marketing. For some reason, search is very slow today. But anyhow, after I've added these mailbox insights, I'll be adding filters to be able to reduce the data size. And you'll see quickly how much the data can actually be reduced from the initial size that we see before. And once we start reducing the size, adding filters, we'll be able to reduce it to a more manageable size. And then we'll place the hold on that content to be able to retain it for our attorneys to review. Let's switch to the PowerPoint while it's searching, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the actual stuff that I'm going to show. We have various types of queries that we support, whether it's Boolean operators or search keywords or proximity operators. But the gist of the solution is that there's no need to wait for indexing. All of the stuff is indexed in real time in the back end, and all the data is live. So the real benefit of in-place technology is that if you use a technology that's based on migration, you'll have to migrate all your data to a new container and then be able to sync that back and forth every time an e-discovery case is needed. Because we preserve the content on the content itself, all the data is in real time. And one of the big questions that we get is, does it increase a lot of storage? And we haven't seen that dramatic amounts of storage increase required. The reason is that we only create a separate copy in the preservation library when a content is deleted or it's edited. In both cases, we will preserve the original content, and for edits, we'll also store the latest version as well in case it gets deleted. And so the actual incremental value in storage is not that great as most people think. We also support proximity searches and rich query syntaxes that I'll show you in a minute. All of these will attribute to making better and more quick decisions at the end. Let's try that again. Some of the keywords that we support for querying is obviously the string itself we support. So you can search for executive briefings in all of your mailboxes and your SharePoint sites. We support Boolean operators, so you can do an AND or NOT on all of the Boolean operators. We also support file names. So you can search for a particular file name or a file type. I want the 2014 budget in an Excel file. And we also support proximity operators like near. So I want to find the words executive with briefing within 20 jumps from that word. Okay, so let's go back to the demo. So I've added a single mailbox. You can see now that it's 6.45 megabytes. I can add a single filter, which it reduced it to 3 megabytes. It's already half, and we can fine tune these keywords to get the exact name. Our legal departments have a list of the keywords that they use. They also have a list of filters that they use often as well. You can preview the results of all the exchange email threads that have relationship with Northwind. And we can also add things like, I want to find Northwind and use a proximity search, for example, near, and anything that has the word market in it. Right? And you can search for that as well. And that reduced it slightly. Finally, placing a hold on this. We'll place a hold on that mailbox or website. And from that point on, all the content will be guaranteed to be preserved in the preservation library. And so the user can delete stuff, but we'll still have all the versions of it as well. And you can see that it's now processing for that mailbox. In terms of search, we'd like to show a quick demo of that. If you look on the left, all the contents of the components are on the left. So whether it's e-discovery sets, queries, or sources, you can modify those as you want. One of the neat things that I'd like to show you today is you can actually do a bulk edit. And so if I have multiple queries that I like to use, for example, I have the same queries, but I want to change the proximity. So I have a near 20, near 10, and near 5. I can copy that and actually add that to the queries. Right. You can simply copy and paste. So if you have a, I find that our legal teams use this a lot. They have a long list of Excel rows and columns to be able to do quick searches across the different data sets. I can select a couple of these, go to items, and then update the statistics in a bulk fashion. So this will go out and execute all of these queries at the same time. So while we wait for that, okay, and yeah, we have the results. And finally, let's talk a little bit of export. We support a very simple way of exporting, which I'll show you in a minute. Downloading the site, the contents, all of the wikis, and even the OneDrive files from SharePoint. We download the Exchange files as PSD files, and all of the relevant information of that. We also can hook into Link and have instant messages, as well as the meeting content. This works across both on-premises and in the cloud at the same time. One of the questions that we get is, if you have a hybrid environment, if you have Exchange on-premises and Exchange in the cloud configured to hybrid, we will also search across that as well. For SharePoint, we don't currently offer a hybrid environment. So for SharePoint, you'll have to create two separate e-discovery centers, both on-premise and one for the cloud. That's for today. We also support the EDRM XML format. Our engineers are actually part of the EDRM committee for the standards. And so what that means is when we download our content, it actually has an XML manifest file that you can use when you upload the content to a different eDiscovery tool that supports the standard. So if you have a heterogeneous environment for eDiscovery, you can download your Microsoft Exchange Mailbox and SharePoint content and then put it into a third-party eDiscovery tool to do the central eDiscovery as well. And finally, all of this is available offline. So you'll have the native files, the PSD files, and the .mht files for SharePoint sites that are preserved as it looks, as it originally looked like. So let's go back and do the export. There are multiple ways for export. You can go to the query site and do an export of all the content. I can do a couple of queries. So I'll take the top two and do an export of that. Clicking on export, we'll go to the eDiscovery export page where you install a very thin client download manager. Let's do a Northwind export, give it a name. You can deduplicate the Exchange content. So if you have the same threads across the different mailboxes, it will actually deduplicate those. You can include the SharePoint document version. So if you have versioning turned on, we will actually download all the versions of that document. We don't track every single editing change, but we do make sure that the versions of those documents that users have checked in are part of the download. And for the files that are not recognized by our search index engine, we will download those as well. Whether they are DRM encrypted files or zip files or images, those will also be part of the package. And we also include a report of the results as well, if there were any errors or whatnot. So I'll click on OK, which should bring me to the eDiscovery download page. And we can download just the report first, which is much smaller in size. But we can download the results, which I'll do today. And it'll open up a small virtual application. I'll save it on my desktop. And we'll see the content downloading here. We'll give it a few minutes to do that. The EDR XML is a standard, it's a growing standard. It's not a standard yet. It's a growing standard that a lot of companies are getting to be able to, you know, move these data results across different platforms. And as you can see here, there's many hashtags and metadata that people can utilize to see if there's changes in the data and compare and do things like that. We support all of that. We include a .xml manifest file for different tools to be able to pick up and use that manifest file as a table of content to upload data to a different tool. So one of the fun topics is, what about the other data? I mean, if you don't have, you know, if you have files on users' desktops, on their Exchange, on their Outlook files, there's a couple of ways to do that. If you have an on-premises environment, you can re-upload those PSD files to Exchange. You can upload the files into either file shares or into SharePoint document libraries, and then have eDiscovery search from there. Again, if you have Exchange configured as a hybrid environment with Exchange Online, Exchange can actually do a hybrid search across both cloud and on-premises. If you have a strictly online environment, which is much simpler, then you can upload your PSD files, user PSD files, to the Exchange Online, and then your SharePoint, and then your loose files to SharePoint as well. Okay, looks like our download finished. So once your download, you download all the files. We have the manifest file, which it's kind of hard to look here, but you can use these to for different third-party tools to upload. We have an export summary that gives us, you know, which files have been downloaded, what's the size of it, the websites, the mailboxes, and a general summary of all the download requirements. Each of these folders, the Exchange folders, has the mailboxes that are relevant that we selected, and then the reports. So if you had any errors, whether we were downloading, indexing errors, or if we couldn't download a particular file, will be logged in these results. Finally, for the SharePoint site, we download it in an MHT file format. So if we open that file, it will actually reconstruct the entire site in the browser as well, as you can see here. Okay. Any questions on export? Good. Okay. Sure. So currently, we don't have password protection for that. We are looking to add various types of authentication on the compliance portal. And so as part of the new portal, and right now it's a bit rudimentary. There's a separate download. But we'll be able to integrate the UI for many types of exports, not just for e-discovery, but for export in general. And we're planning to do a better job there in terms of UI as well as functionality. Question on the back? Yes.
When you put those into Exchange or go into Exchange Online, what are the retention dates that are associated with the PST? Because if you import it and it all gets stamped as today's date, then the retention policies that you have in place queue up today's date, or does it recognize when the email was originally created and go off that retention date?
The question was on the retention policies for imported PST files. I'm not really sure on that. Let's take that offline and then I'll answer afterwards. Any other questions? One on the left, yes. So the question was, can I export to PDF? Not yet. You can definitely export to PDF on the documents themselves, but by the end users, but not from the system here. Right. But we have heard that feedback before, because definitely lawyers and legal departments have that requirement for the production facilities. Just a little bit of background. The e-discovery process is generally four phases. There's the preservation, there's the search and reduction, there's the review and the product and the packaging. We currently only cover the first half, which is generally preservation, holds, and search and export. The other half, which is review and packaging and production, we don't cover in the Microsoft solution today. We are looking to be able to cover the full spectrum in the future, and we're looking very heavily into those technologies, including predictive coding as well. Any other questions before we move on? Okay. So this is the question in the back, sir.
On regular file shares?
Yes. So for the network shares, we can't do a hold on the network shares. We can do a search and export that as part of the export download package. Right. So if there are, I thought there was a question on the right. But if not, OK. I know you can't read this, but this is the eDiscovery architecture. It's on the deck will be available for download, but there's also a link on the bottom that you can go to find the full fidelity version. Somebody trying to take a picture of it. But in general, I know this doesn't look simple, but depending on which side you look at it, it will probably be different. We wanted to make the end user experience as simple as possible, so we did a lot of investment and development on the back end for the right plumbing that we need to do. If you look carefully, there's SharePoint Farm, how the eDiscovery Center works with the search farm and the exchange servers, as well as the file shares. And so we'll give you, for those of you who are interested in the deep dive, this will probably give a good idea of how to set up those services. Also, for in the on-premises world, there are some settings that you need to be careful to do that. And so if you go to TechNet, we'll have all the guidelines that you need to be able to set those up. But in summary, we wanted to make sure that e-discovery for the end users, for our compliance officers, as easy as possible. The reason was we found that one of the biggest concerns of our legal teams was that they had to rely on IT to do e-discovery, which didn't make a lot of sense because sometimes the IT departments were under the compliance had to be reviewed for compliance as well. And so the biggest ask from our legal teams was that they wanted to be able to use the tools themselves without having to be reliant on IT. And so we made the tool as easy. So for a lawyer to go in and doing those things was our aim. So that was kind of the aim to make it easy. A quick summary is in-place holds. You know, as I showed you before, you quickly go to the site, you search content, and you can quickly place an in-place hold for preservation of that in real time. We offer various search queries to find the content and update those in real time. And finally, we support an export tool to be able to transfer content for review and production. All of these work across SharePoint, Exchange, and Link, and file shares on both on-premises and in the cloud. Key takeaways is, you know, our technology. Well, question on the back before I go there. I think I heard the question, does it pick up attachments? Yes, it does pick up the attachments in the emails, as well as inside the SharePoint sites if it's in a document library, in addition to the OneDrive files as well. Any other questions? OK.
If you have a non-OCR PDF in there, will it OCR for you so you can search the content in the PDF? I realize you can't export the PDF, but
you can. Yes, so PDFs, even though they're not indexed, they can be included as part of the download. As you can see before, all the encrypted files and the non-recognized files will be part of that, and it will be part of the download package. Right. But the biggest kind of biggest summary is that our technology doesn't require users to migrate the content to a separate database, and that's a huge cost benefit in terms of storage, but also in terms of maintenance. You know, one of the biggest when we started running an Office 365 service, we found that the biggest cost was actually the growing storage of users. And we increased our storage limit for OneDrives to a terabyte for organizational users, which is huge. And people will start filling those up. Being able to do quickly, you know, in-place holds without marketing those terabytes or petabytes of data will be a big advantage to a lot of our customers. Even if not using the Microsoft eDiscovery entirely, even if you have a heterogeneous environment, simply using those export features, those in-place features for those users that are using our platform will be a big plus for a lot of our customers and users. That's kind of the direction that we're going. There are still gaps in our solution. We only cover the first half of the eDiscovery spectrum, but we'll quickly go over and be able to do review and packaging as well as predictive coding in the future as well. We want to make eDiscovery simple, save a lot of time and money, and reduce risk. And that's kind of the motto that we started. It's very, very new today. And we are focusing on investing a lot in the new compliance center that I'll be showing you today as well. So for everyone who came, thank you very much. I'll be here for the next couple of minutes to answer questions. Thank you for coming, and hope you have the rest of a good day. Thank you very much, guys.